The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's the sort of quirky thing you desperately wished were available.
But now it is. So stop complaining and just listen.
Broadcasting live in the heart of New York City,
the Eric Metaxas Show.
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I don't know about you, but this is not the kind of radio show where you tune in and we jump from guest to guest to guest. If possible, not only would I like to have one guest during an hour, I'd like to have a guest for several hours to have an in-depth conversation. I don't get to do that all the time, but sometimes I do get to do it. And today we have again in the studio Jack Deere, my friend, the author of a brand new book, Even in Our Darkness. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
Now, I'm not hearing his microphone very well. I just want to make sure that... Okay, we're good. So, Jack, I just want to continue the conversation that we had from the other day about your book. First of all, the book is brand new. It's just out now. This is the beginning of March. But there's so much in this book and so much in your life that I just want to talk about since you happen to be in New York. It makes me happy with your wife here, Lisa. So where should we begin? I mean, last time we... I don't even remember where we ended, but I'll remember if we repeat ourselves.
I think the major transition in my life came about the middle, about 38 or 40 years old, when I began to seek a friendship with God.
Okay, so again, to review, you had a kind of a tough upbringing, and you talk about all this stuff in the book. And it's kind of amazing, actually, because I think your story – I say in my blurb, my endorsement, that this story is everybody's story, because when I read the book, I thought, this is kind of the more normal story. We often hear stories of somebody who's like drinking and drugging and then shazam, they become a Christian or whatever. But usually it's way more complicated. Usually people maybe have some experiences with God, with church or something, but the penny doesn't drop, or the penny sort of drops and then they drift away. And your story is kind of like that. It's kind of complicated. Because you were excited about God, but there was a coldness to it or something.
Yeah. So I grew up in a really traumatic family. My mom and dad were at war from the time I was about 6 years old. And dad became more absentee and passive, and that enraged mom, and she took her rage out on us. And she called them spankings, but they were really beatings. My dad committed suicide when I was 12 years old. I was the oldest of four kids. Mom was 34. And our home just spiraled downward after that. We never went to church. My parents not only had no Christian friends, they had no friends. So I was 16 years old before I knew who Jesus Christ was. I saw the movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And prior to that, Jesus Christ was just a swear word for me. And you say, well, how do you grow up in Texas in the Bible Belt and not know that Jesus Christ is a person? Somebody has to tell you, right? We didn't go to church, no Christian friends. And my best friend became a Christian. We exiled him from our group. And on December 18th, 1965, I spent the night with him because he promised to introduce me to some new girls from a wealthy high school on the West Side.
Now, wait a second. So this is in the 60s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 65, yeah.
And you it's the reason it's such an entertaining book, and again, the title is Even in Our Darkness, is because it's all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's sort of a mixture of everything. You know, here you are growing up in a home that it's painful to read about, but then you're just a kid, you're a boy, and so your friend becomes a Christian, you're like, that's it, he's out of the group.
Yeah.
But then this weird thing happens where he promises to introduce you to some new girls, and so okay, so you sleep over his house this night.
Yeah, and I don't know why I asked him, but about 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, Bruce, how do you think you get into heaven? My dad told me we got into heaven by being good. I heard that when I was 9 years old. My heart sank, and I gave up on God. I gave up on going to heaven because my mom had convinced me I was a bad boy, and the truth was I was a bad boy. So Bruce said, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That's my first time to hear that. He said, if you will trust him to forgive you and give you a new life, he will come into your heart and never leave. And I said, what if I do something bad? He goes, you're going to do bad things the rest of your life, but once he comes into your heart, he will never leave. And I said, Bruce, that can't be true. And he goes, oh, yeah, it's true. I said, how do you know? And he said, because Jesus said so. Jesus said, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. That was the first verse of Scripture I ever heard.
But I got to say, to have a teenage friend be able to share that with you is pretty amazing. That's advanced. I mean, most teenage kids who would say they're Christians would not be able to answer that question as correctly as he did. That's amazing, frankly.
Actually, most seminary students don't answer that question. When I became a professor, I would ask that question to my second-year students, and they were just as confused as ever. But Bruce was different. Bruce was my one smart friend. I was in a circle of athletes. Bruce used words like apogee and fistula in his daily conversation.
Wow.
So he was – and he was neurotic. The girls – all they loved him, and he could talk to girls on the phone for hours. They would tell him about their secrets, about their parents, about their changing bodies. He was kind of our source for sexual knowledge. And then he chases this girl to church camp and becomes a believer, but a radical believer,
right,
a Bible-toting, scripture-quoting,
and obviously
kind of guy.
a brainy guy. Let's say it. He's brainy.
Yeah, so but he has this thing with girls, and so he's met these new girls from Pascal High School. That's the wealthy high school on the west side. And so that's how I ended up over there. And I hear this verse where Jesus says, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he quotes that verse, and I am instantly born again. That's my first verse of Scripture. I could not have told you I was born again. Inside, I had no religious language, confession, repentance, none of that stuff. Inside, I just said, God, I'm coming over to your side.
And you how old?
I was 17 years old, December 18th, 1965.
Wow. So it's interesting, right, because most people think, or a lot of people think, okay, now, so you're born again, you accept Jesus, game over. But I always say you haven't crossed the finish line. When that happens, you've basically crossed the starting line. And at that moment, you're on a journey which still involves all kinds of painful stuff. But the difference is Jesus is with you.
See, I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is I'm coming over to God's side. So in the morning—
At the time, you're saying you didn't know any of this
stuff.
I don't
know. So I wake up, and in the I forgot to bring a shirt. I'd stolen 5 shirts from an expensive department store the day before. I told our housekeeper to iron the shirt, so I ran back home to get them. Shirts were still in their cellophane wrappers. And I took those shirts up. Bobby, that was our African-American maid. She was in the den with the ironing board. And I said, Bobby, I told you to iron these blank shirts. Now I don't have anything to wear. And I just threw them on the counter. She picked up one, unwrapped it, started to iron it. I walked back, slammed the door to my bedroom. And then I stopped. And I said, inwardly, I said, oh, you can't do that anymore. And I said, excuse me, Lord, I'm really sorry. And then I walked back in. Tell Bobby, I'm sorry I cursed at you. I don't want to talk like that anymore. I don't want to use those words. And I'm sorry that I got angry. And those shirts aren't important. You don't have to iron them. And I walked back to my room. See, the night before, God had slipped in through this crack of an open wound, and nobody taught me to pray. Nobody taught me to confess my sin, and nobody taught me to repent. But I was already doing it, and I wasn't even a Christian 24 hours.
That's a miracle story right there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people talk about how you have to work at being a Christian, and there's something there. On the other hand, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, magic happens. There's no way around
Definitely.
It. And this is an example of that. You just, on one level, you are a different person without even being conscious of it, really. All right. Well, we're going to go to a break, folks. We're talking with Jack Deere. I'm always fascinated, Jack, just before we close this segment, is that there's so many people I know that in certain circles, they're really famous. When I mention the name Jack Deere, people light up. And then there are other people that they've absolutely never heard of you or any of the – and it, part of the things I want to do on this program is to let everybody know who everybody else is. And if there are people listening who don't know who you are, they've got something to discover. You've written many, many books. This one, the brand new book, Even in Our Darkness, A Story of Beauty in a Broken Life by Jack Deere with an E on the end. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, MetaxasTalk.com. We'll be right back with Jack Deere. You can remember your name, because there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La 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 la. From the creators of The Case for Christ.
All these years, this church has been here. Now it's the crime scene.
The church has brought nothing but controversy to the school for years.
When we are divided, we must remember what we stand for.
We cannot respond to hate with more hate.
This Easter, God's not dead, in the darkness, we are called to be the light.
Without grace is our goal. We're just fighting.
God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, starring David A.R. White and John Corbett. In theaters March 30th, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Go to godsnotdead.com.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hurst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
I, Luke, send a message to all those that follow our Lord Jesus Christ.
From the studio that brought you Risen and War Room comes Paul, Apostle of Christ.
There are men, women, children that will never meet you. There must be a handwritten account of your acts.
Their faith challenged an empire.
What do you really know about these Christians?
I am concerned with these documents.
Their words changed the world.
Love is the only way.
Paul, Apostle of Christ, starring Jim Caviezel. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. Go to paulmovie.com.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynavite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you want your thin hair to feel and look thicker? With Viviscal, the number one drug-free healthy hair supplement in the U.S., 2 little tablets is all it takes, guaranteed. Viviscal is clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And right now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area, risk-free plus free shipping. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within, and we guarantee you'll love your hair growth results. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by doctors. Here's what dermatologist Dr. John Laura has to say about Viviscal.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrate Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
It's so easy to try Viviscal. Call right now for a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call 800-335-6708. That's 800-335-6708. 800-335-6708.
We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, this is Eric from Taxes Show. Guess what? I'm talking to my friend Jack Deere. His book is called Even in Our Darkness. Beautiful book. Jack, we're just talking about this moment. You're 17 years old, 1965, and suddenly you discover you are a Christian. Something has happened to you. I love the subtlety of it. It's just so, you know, because usually these stories are more dramatic. This is really simple. You treat somebody really poorly, and minutes later you realize, oh, I can't do that anymore. Kind of cool.
Yeah. God was making himself at home in my 17-year-old heart.
So what happens after that?
Well, I joined the Southern Baptist Church because that's where Bruce went to church. But it was great. I had a place to eat lunch on Sunday with families where husbands kissed their wives, and I saw normal families. But what really happened that propelled me into a friendship with Jesus or a deeper relationship was God sent a young life leader named Scott Manley into my life after I'd been a Christian for 3 months. And this guy was everything this 17-year-old boy wanted to be. He was athletic. He'd been a college wrestler. He was 26 years old. He was handsome. He was articulate, intelligent. And he became like my best friend, spiritual father, big brother, all rolled into one. And he taught me how to read Scripture, taught me how to memorize Scripture. He put C.S. Lewis in my hand. And I read the Screwtape Letters, and I was ruined for life. In the second chapter, I came on that sentence where Wormwood says to his Screwtape says to Wormwood, his nephew, the demonic tempter, keep everything hazy in his mind right now, and you will have all eternity wherein to amuse yourself by the peculiar kind of clarity that hell affords. Oh. I read that sentence sitting in my drab bedroom, and I was transported into a realm of intellectual beauty and precision. I mean, how do you take 28 words and capture the heart, the nastiness of demonic strategy? From there on out, I wanted to be with C.S. Lewis and Scott Manley and be a young life leader like Scott.
You ever think what an extraordinary thing it is that at that age, with your brain, because you are absolutely brainy, but the fact that God put that into your hands at that point and that introduced you to this guy, because I think of so many people who come to faith, and it might be 10 or 20 years before they bump into people who can feed them intellectually this way.
That is really truly the sovereignty of God. Life is about redemptive relationships where you have friendships for the sake of the pleasure it gives you. And that's what Scott did for me. Scott was like a model of Jesus. So the only guy who never needed any help chooses 12 helpers. Why? For the pleasure it gave him to love them and teach them to love the things
he
loved.
Obviously, we're talking about Jesus. And that is an interesting thing. I never thought of that before. I've often thought about, God needing, God the Father wanting to have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that there's this community of fellowship and friendship in the Trinity. But I've never heard anyone ever say what you just said, that Jesus chose 12 to be with him, and that those friendships and everything. I've never really thought of it in the way you just put it.
Yeah, you say, why did the only person who never needed help choose 12 helpers? For the pleasure it gave him to love them and teach them to love what he loved. So Scott Manley chose me, and we had this magic chemistry together, and he loved me apart from my usefulness. I mean, what good is a 17-year-old kid to a 26-year-old, right? He loved me apart from my usefulness, and he taught me to love the things he loved. And he loved Scripture, and he loved C.S. Lewis. And so I just became a C.S. Lewis devotee and read everything Lewis ever wrote.
Wow. I didn't even know that about you. I've known you for a long time. When I think of you, I think of friends like Dudley Hall. I don't think of C.S. Lewis. But, of course, you're I'm just insulting Dudley, our friend, right? That's not right. Well, the thing is, I want to tell people, too, in case they forgot, you were an associate professor of Old Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary. So you really are a scholar. And what you're talking about now is kind of how you got to that place in life.
Yeah.
And then later on, how you got to real friendship with Jesus, which is a whole different thing from being a scholar of the ancient languages. So you were hanging out with Scott.
And I became a young life leader like him. And by my senior year in college, 250 kids came out from our local high school to hear me talk about Jesus. And I love Scripture. I did for those kids what Scott did for me. And then I met a Young Life guy from Dallas Seminary, and I was overwhelmed with his knowledge of the Bible, way better than mine. And this guy was, you know, maybe a C-plus student. So I said, where did you learn all this? And he said, at Dallas Seminary. So I enrolled in Dallas Seminary, not to become a pastor. I just wanted to be a Young Life leader. I didn't want to be a scholar. I just wanted to learn the Bible better. And it turns out I've been given this mind where abstract thinking and Greek and Hebrew and Semitic languages, they weren't just easy for me. I love them. I love participles and infinitives and puzzling out sentences. And so I majored in all things Greek and Hebrew. And
I'm jealous, by the way, because I do not have that gift. That's amazing. Yes. It is amazing to me how some people, God just creates you differently, and that you have this gift for language, especially ancient languages. Amazing.
So I was 17 years old, didn't know a single verse of Scripture. At 27, I become a professor of Old Testament exegesis and Semitic languages at Dallas, which did wonders for my humility.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, by the time I was a second-year student, I pretty much knew I was a rock star in my
right.
seminary
so you
world.
Had the, you, had the, you had the curse of knowing that you were something special. Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, that's it's worked its way out in your life because you're no longer 27. But that's a weird way to go because when people are throwing adulation at you, it's one of the worst things. Early success can be a real curse, obviously, because it's so hard to handle when you're that age and you know you're smart and people are coming to your classes or coming to hear you. I did not have that problem. But what happens from there?
So I settle into life as an Old Testament prof, and I start a Bible church in Fort Worth that starts growing, and it has a lot of the aristocracy of the city coming to it. So one of Lisa's friends, a beautiful young lady, comes up to her one day after church and says, hey, would you like to go to our ranch for a few days this week? Dad said we could take the jet. And so all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by these people who've got massive wealth,
oil,
servants.
Oil money.
Oil money.
We don't have none of that up here in the north. So suddenly this is happening to you. You're around these people. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were some of the kindest, most generous people in the world. So I've got this great church that I totally love. I've got this career that I like, and it looks like that's what I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing.
Wow. Okay. And then what happened?
I met a guy that was one of our heroes. His name was John White. We asked him to come to our church and do a spring Bible conference. And in this conversation I had with him on the phone, he revealed that he believed in healing. And I didn't.
Oh, no, you just spoke about this in the previous hour.
Yeah.
This is the moment when it happens. Now, how old are you around this time?
I would be about 36.
Okay, so you're 36 and you're in the world. Now, we were talking about that in the previous hour, that Dallas Theological Seminary traditionally has not been open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues and prophecy and deliverance and all that. They just they tend to be cerebral. This is not to put them down, but the point is that they're not comfortable with these expressions of the Christian faith.
No, they're not. At least my teachers weren't. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there today, but my teachers all taught me that the apostles healed. God let the apostles heal, so we would know they were trustworthy teachers of doctrine. Now we have their doctrine, so we don't need healing anymore.
Right. Most people who listen to this program would know that I don't believe that. You don't believe that. We believe that God wants to heal today, that he does heal today. We have seen him heal today. And you, Jack Deere, have prayed for innumerable people for healing and all kinds of things. You've been in this world of healing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you're really famous for writing books on that. And if you don't mind, what are the titles of the books that you wrote on that? The Power...
Surprised by the Power of the Spirit was the first one.
Yeah.
And then Surprised by the Voice of God, and then The Beginner's Guide to the Gift of Prophecy.
So this is heavy stuff. And I'm always fascinated. When I first became Christian in 1988, I kind of thought, whatever comes with the program, I'm in, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was hanging out with people that, you know, I'm speaking in tongues 3 months after I accepted Jesus, and I'm hanging out with people who are getting words of knowledge. And I thought, this is exciting. This is great. This is so cool. And this is – so I'm hanging out with these people, and they're zealous for evangelism and all this different stuff. And then a few years later, I bumped into some people, and they were like – We don't believe in that. And I thought, how is it possible to be a Christian not to believe in that, really? And that's when I discovered this rift in the body of Christ. So we're going to be right back, folks, talking to Jack Deere. The book, brand new. It's called Even in Our Darkness. We'll be right back.
From the creators of The Case for Christ.
All these years, this church has been here. Now it's just a crime scene.
The church has brought nothing but controversy to the school for years.
When we are divided, we must remember what we stand for.
We cannot respond to hate with more hate.
This Easter, God's not dead, in the darkness, we are called to be the light.
Without grace is our goal, which is fighting.
God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, starring David A.R. White and John Corbett. In theaters March 30th, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Go to godsnotdead.com.
You work hard to recruit the best talent for your business, so you know today's candidates want perks they can enjoy every day. Give them the healthy, active office culture they're looking for with Veridesk Standing Desk Solutions. The new Veridesk ProDesk 60 Electric is a commercial-grade electric standing desk that lets you sit or stand with the touch of a button, and it assembles in under 5 minutes. To learn more about the ProDesk 60 Electric, visit Veridesk.com/radio. That's VARIDesk.com/radio.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom. Just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional. But it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Folks, a little Barry Manilow and a lot of Jack Deere. Jack, welcome back. It's so great to have you here in New York City. I've wanted to have you here to have time to talk with you. So obviously your book, Even in Our Darkness, covers all this stuff. But I want to leap ahead to, you were just saying to me on the break here that the experiences of the Holy Spirit, healing and those things, open us up for a personal relationship and a friendship with Jesus, which is different than just a cerebral acceptance of doctrine or even a cerebral acceptance of him as Lord and Savior. So tell us about that.
Yeah, before I came to believe that God heals and that God speaks today, I basically related to him as somebody I studied in the Bible. And I expected if he was going to speak to me, it would come out of the Bible. So my main message to everybody was study the Bible. This is what God wants us to do. And love sort of took a back seat to that. And I love studying the Bible. I still love studying the Bible. But when I started believing in healing, and I changed my mind about healing from a careful study of Scripture, and I started praying for people, and I actually saw blind eyes open. I was in the room when John Wimber prayed for a person that was blind and one eye. He said, see, and the person started seeing.
Now, I just want to stop you because I've never seen anything like that happen. And I know there are many people listening, they just don't believe it. They just think you're hallucinating or you're exaggerating or you're misremembering or the person who could see wasn't really blind. Or, you know, there's all kinds of things that people can come up with.
Yeah, true.
But you have seen this.
Yeah.
And you were there. I really think that you know, I wish these things were more documented so that people could, because I think there are people that kind of want to believe in this, but they're skeptical. They're afraid because they think, I don't want to be a fool to believe in crazy stuff. But you're obviously a super sharp guy. You were there when this happened. What happens in your head when you see something like this happen?
Stunned. And first, you're not believing it. So, I don't know, 15 years ago, I'm standing on a stage. It's all Chinese-speaking people. And we're praying for people, for their vision, for blind people.
Wait, you're in China?
Actually, this is a Chinese-speaking group in Southern California.
Okay.
But I go to Taiwan all the time,
yeah.
And that's how I was on that stage. And I want to pray for this young girl who's blind. She's maybe 18 years old. And this 70-year-old lady who's blind in one eye gets in between, and I think God is not going to heal. 70-year-old lady who's blind in one eye. She's already got one good eye, and she's at the end of her life. But she just pulls on my sleeve. So I say, okay, yeah, I'll pray for her. Then I'm going to get to the 18-year-old girl. So I put my hand over her eye and pray for it. And then all of a sudden, she starts sputtering Chinese. And I say to the interpreter, ask her if she wants me to pray again, because I'm sure her eye wasn't healed. And the interpreter says, no, she says her eye is healed. And it didn't register. I said, this can't be true. She's in truth, her eye was healed. She demonstrated. She could see. It was absolutely amazing. And I asked one of the ladies to get her name so we would have it recorded and where she lived and all that. And then I went over to the 18-year-old girl whom I was now certain that she was going to see. I prayed for her, nothing. I prayed 10, 15 minutes for her, not a single thing.
And isn't this always the question? I had my dad is 90. He has macular degeneration, really bad. He can't really read. And I had Ken Fish pray for him for a long time, our mutual friend, yeah. Ken Fish. And, you know, nothing happened. And yesterday I was up in Danbury, Connecticut with my folks, and I sat down with Suzanne, my wife, and we prayed again for my father's eye. And this is the fundamental conundrum of this subject, right? Is
yeah.
It what is going on? What is the magic? Why do some people get healed and some don't? And of course, there are no real easy answers to this.
No, I mean, there's the mystery of unanswered prayers, right? So there's people we pray for to come to know the Lord, people that we love, and they don't come to know the Lord, at least not in a way that we can tell. So there's this mystery of unanswered prayers. When we get to heaven, I think all of that will make sense to us. We'll see the wisdom, the timing of God behind all of it, but here, we're consigned to live a large part of our life with mystery.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so you said that this opens us up to friendship with Jesus.
Yeah, because now when I'm leading a meeting or leading a church service, I start asking God's opinion. You know, do you have an opinion about what we do?
Okay, so now you're in your later 30s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you, what you're saying, I guess, is that because you're praying for healing in these things, you're listening to God.
Yeah, trying to hear God like you would a person, that it matters to him what we do in this room, whether it's a conference or whether it's a church service. So I start asking questions, and then I start sometimes hearing answers back, and we start developing what's a real relationship. It's the beginning of a friendship, but I don't even think about God as a friend yet.
And how do you hear from God when you pray or whatever? Because that's something that's always frustrated me, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, that they pray, but they don't hear an answer. How do you hear?
Well, there's probably 12 or 14 different ways that God regularly speaks to people in the Bible. They're one-off ways like the burning bush, but he speaks in an audible voice. He'll speak in clear, crystal clear sentences in our head, like an internal audible voice. He'll send angels. I have friends who've heard angels speak. But a real common way is impressions. And the trick is learning what's an impression from him and what's something you're just making up.
You see, that is the key. And I have had impressions, and I think that I can answer my own question in the sense that we have to practice. We have to keep trying
exactly.
And trying and trying until, like anything else, like using a muscle you ain't used. We're going to be right back talking to Jack Deer. The book, and it's terrific, is Even in Our Darkness. We'll be right back. Well, here I am, Lord, knocking at your back door. Ain't it wonderful to be? Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, how are you? I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Okay.
Can I tell you? Because,
yes.
Listen, for example, Relief Factor, we get these testimonials in here. Greg from Hawaii writes, my left knee started swelling last year, making climbing stairs and walking distances difficult. At the same time, my back, hips, and shoulders were aching, and I figured it was worth trying Relief Factor. Within 3 days, I was seeing a difference. Relief Factor is helping with almost all my aches and pains.
Wow.
A lot of people think they have to live with aches and pains. And I would say, you know, in some cases, maybe, but I would try Relief Factor. It is, how do I describe it? Non-toxic. It's botanicals. You can take it all day long. This is not like taking Advil or something that you really shouldn't. It's not good for your organs, whatever. So go to relieffactor.com. Check out the Quick Start Pack for $19.95. Within a few weeks, you will know. It could be less than that, but you'll know if it works for you. But it's worked for a lot of people. Again, it's anti-inflammatory. It's something that I take every day. I recommend it. Relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com.
From the creators of The Case for Christ.
All these years, this church has been here. Now it's just a crime scene.
The church has brought nothing but controversy to the school for years.
When we are divided, we must remember what we stand for.
We cannot respond to hate with more hate.
This Easter, God's not dead, in the darkness, we are called to be the light.
Without grace is our goal. We're just fighting.
God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, starring David A.R. White and John Corbett. In theaters March 30th, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Go to godsnotdead.com.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act has been around for months now. Americans are seeing real results from it, and we know this because we've heard things. We've seen a company in Ohio give its 5,000 employees a $1,000 bonus, contribute $1 million to charity, and beef up its employees' pensions by $20 million. We've seen an insurance company give $1,000 bonuses to its employees, donate $40 million to charity, and use the savings to lower premiums for its customers. We've seen an employee in Texas who checked his pay stub and found out he's keeping $200 more per paycheck, helping him to pay his family's credit card debt faster. These are actual stories we're hearing from people like you who are benefiting from this historic tax cut. But too many people are hearing things that are untrue about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, things that you know are lies because certain people don't want them told. But that doesn't change the fact that we have seen these things. See how this law is helping Americans just like you at TaxCutsWork.com. Let us know how the tax cuts are helping your business and your family. Please share these comments at TaxCutsWork.com. That's TaxCutsWork.com.
I came as close to heaven as a person can be without getting in. For 3 years, I followed Jesus Christ and devoted myself to ministry. But today, despite all that I did as a follower of Jesus, I am languishing in hell.
Don't miss Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot.
Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot, this Friday on the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for ReaganPrivacy.com. Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That's a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan. You can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send. And they won't scan your emails. They will leave you alone. Get an email address that you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Go get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com. That's ReaganPrivacy.com.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Before I continue the conversation with Jack Deere, I want to remind you that Hillsdale College is one of the sponsors of this show, and I never cease to be amazed that they have an honor code that all, imagine in this day and age, that all freshmen are committed to follow. And if you've been there and I've been there, they're into it. This is not just something they mouth. The honor code that they all say, it's a pledge. A Hillsdale College student is honorable in conduct. I never get over that. Honorable in conduct. They say this. They believe in honor. Honest in word and deed, dutiful in study and service, and respectful of the rights of others. What? In college? Yes, at Hillsdale. Through education, the student rises to self-government. And that word self-government, in every sense of that word, to govern yourself. And then by, of course, governing yourself, you're able to partake in a system of self-government, which we call the United States of America. It's amazing. You can learn more about Hillsdale by going to metaxasforhillsdale.com, metaxasforhillsdale.com. I return now to my conversation with my buddy, Jack Deere. Jack, it's so fascinating talking about this stuff. So you now are hearing from God, and you say this begins a true relationship, because we always talk about Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Yeah. But you're saying for you it becomes more than a relationship in quotes. It's a relationship in the sense that you are talking and hearing from God, and you're working with him in doing his work.
Yeah. In my earlier life, when I prayed for God to speak to me, it was just speak to me through the Bible, illuminate your word. Now I start praying, God, would you speak to me? Would you speak personally to me? Show me what you want to do in this meeting. What do you think about this? And so I start asking him to train me to hear his voice.
And he does.
Yeah. So here's like a kind of funny but weird deal. I'm on church staff in California. I'm getting ready to go into my office, and Lisa says, I need some money.
Okay, Lisa's your wife.
Yeah, Lisa.
Who's sitting
wife.
Right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smiling.
Yes.
Because she remembers the story. So she said, give me some money. And I looked in my pocket. I had $22. And so I'm going to go to the bank, cash a check for $100 before I get to my office. And I start to hand her the $22, and I have this impression, keep back two, which makes absolutely no sense, because I'm going to get $100, so what do I need $102 for? So I give her all my money. I don't get to go to the bank. Something happens. Later that day, one of the pastors of our church and I are going out to lunch with some other pastors, and it's a swanky Southern California restaurant with valets and all that. So we come out, and the pastor, my friend, the pastor says, hey, I don't have any money. Give me $2 for the valet. And I start to reach in my pocket, and I went, I don't have it. So it was kind of embarrassing. Sorry, we can't tip you. We're pastors too, known to be the cheapest people in the world. but I get back in my office and I say, God, did you care about us giving that valet $2? And it was like, this is the kind of conversation that came in my mind. No, you asked me to hear my voice. I'm teaching you how to do it. This morning, it didn't make any difference that you ignored me, but the day is coming when it will make a difference. So I had those kind of things happen all the time, where there's just these little training times during the day, these impressions that come out of nowhere, and gradually you learn to sort out which ones are from him and which ones you're just sort of making up.
Well, it's just so wonderful. I think many people listening are thinking, I wish I could have that kind of relationship with God. There's something so beautiful about that. And so I just want – part of the reason I want to have you on is I want to encourage people that this is for you. It's not just for Jack Deere. It's for all of us. And I can put myself in the basket of people who is – I'm not there. I mean, I have a little bit of this, but, boy, nothing like I would hope. And so I hope people will be encouraged. Okay, so so you were saying before, so at around 38 or something like that, at that age in your life, you're opening up to friendship with Jesus.
Yeah. And if you think about it, all of us at one time have had best friends. So what was the essence of that best friendship? It wasn't about service. It was about the pleasure we felt when we were with our best friend. And there's a chemistry we share with our best friend. Something we feel when we're with that friend we don't feel with anybody else. And it's all about enjoying each other, and it's about gratitude. We feel gratitude for our friends. And Jesus wants a friendship with us. It's really clear from Scripture, but I lived as a Christian for probably 25 years not knowing that.
Well, I mean, I think we all can know it on different levels. Like, I know it intellectually, but you always hear people say over and over and over again, the Lord loves you and he wants to spend time with you, right? Now, I want to spend time with my daughter. I love being around her. I adore her. But she's not so interested. She's a teenager, whatever. And I think, well, that's like us with God, right? God says he wants to spend time with us, but we kind of don't get it. And he wants us to get it. And I say, well, I want to get it. How do I get that hunger to spend time with God in that way? It seems to me that once you begin hearing from him like that, it would help.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally helps. When you can feel his pleasure in you, feel his nearness, it makes you want to love him. But one of the great scriptures is James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. So I started making hearing his voice a daily prayer, and then made friendship with him. I want a friendship with you. I started making that one of my daily prayers. Let me be one of your friends.
That's heavy. That's heavy stuff. I mean, because again, we all give lip service to the idea of a relationship. It's about a relationship. You hear very hard doctrinal Christian types say it's about a relationship, and you don't get the impression that they have this love relationship with Jesus.
Now, I think it's pretty normal to go to church and hear a message of obligations. You need to pray more, you need to read the Bible more, you need to evangelize more. And you already know you're not doing enough things, but you don't hear messages about a person who has experienced the affection of Jesus. Most pastors, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of pastors, relate to God as an obligation to fulfill. And there's a huge difference between relating to him like that, a father you have to please, but who may be irritated with your poor performance, and then relating to somebody who loves you just like you are, wants to be with you, and actually demonstrates that in your feelings.
Well, that's the goal. That is the goal. And it's one of the reasons, again, I wanted to talk to you. Just got about 30 seconds left. What can we talk about in 30 seconds? That's the problem with commercial radio. It's I guess I've known you for quite a long time. We met in the early 2000s.
2002.
When B.J. Weber brought you to the New Canaan Society. And you write about that in the book, right?
Yeah.
That's the day we met. That's I was shocked to read my own name in your book and to realize what a wiseacre I was. Of course, I'm nothing like that today, Jack. You know. Okay, we're going to be right back talking to Jack Deere. The book is Even in Our Darkness. Really powerful. We'll be right back.
Angels University is committed to providing an outstanding, regionally accredited Christian liberal arts education, purposely designed to inspire a lifelong pursuit of learning, loving, and leading. Our highly credentialed faculty are committed to inspiring students both in and out of the classroom. That's why Bob Jones University pre-med graduates are accepted to med school within 1 year of graduation at double the national average. Visit bju.edu or call 800-252-6363 to find out more. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
I, Luke, send a message to all those that follow our Lord Jesus Christ.
From the studio that brought you Risen and War Room comes Paul, Apostle of Christ.
There are men, women, children that will never meet you. There must be a handwritten account of your acts.
Their faith challenged an empire.
What do you really know about these Christians?
I am concerned with these documents.
Their words changed the world.
Love is the only way.
Paul, Apostle of Christ, starring Jim Caviezel. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. Go to paulmovie.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-721-4880. That's 800-721-4880. 800-721-4880. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Dreamed I saw the knights in armor come and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming and the archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on.
I hate to cut off Neil Young. Man, that's beautiful. I'm talking to Jack Deere. A few minutes left in our conversation this hour. But, Jack, if we can get you to stay, we'll continue the conversation. You were talking earlier about the New Canaan Society. We mentioned this last time we spoke. But it is interesting because the New Canaan Society, which is a group that I was privileged to be one of the founders of with our buddy Jim Lane. It really is. It is about friendship, men's friendship with each other, and friendship with Jesus, which in some ways is a little radical. Which is stupid that it's radical, but it's it's about friendship with Jesus.
Yeah, it is. I came into it the first time, February 2003. I'm going to give a message on loving Jesus, and I met you, and you introduced me, and you said we have this great speaker that we've all been looking forward to this morning, but unfortunately he canceled, and you went on from there, and everybody was laughing, and then I got up and replied to you with a Woody Allen shtick that I'd memorized. So here are these guys coming together. We're making fun of each other. Everybody is laughing. And then I give a message on loving Jesus, and everybody hangs around afterwards just talking and praying. And I realize this is like an adult men's young life group.
Yes, exactly.
It's all about friendship with each other and friendship with God. There's no ulterior motives. We're not trying to build a ministry. We're just trying to enjoy one another, and in the process of enjoying one another, we're coming closer to God, and we're helping one another. I'd never seen anything like it. I'd seen church groups.
How sad is that? To me, that's sad when you say you've never seen anything like it, because this is the thing, too. Growing up in the Northeast and then becoming a Christian up here in the Northeast, in New York and Connecticut, whatever, I always thought this stuff was normative because I'm hanging around people like this. But the more I see, the more you realize, no, for a lot of people, they don't have this kind of joy. Church isn't fun. They're not excited. It's this kind of silent obligation or something like that. And you think, man, what is wrong with this picture? So I was spoiled by Jim Lane and the guys and the joking and the goofing around and stuff, because I kind of thought, well, this is normal. All the Christians I know are emotionally healthy and bust on each other, and that's part of the joy of it. And I began to see that, no, a lot of people haven't experienced that.
No, I experienced it in Young Life, where it was all about relational, and it was doing ministry together, and it was great fun. And then I got lost in the church world, the academic world, and that kind of transparency, vulnerability, it all just sort of vanished. And we've all got images to protect. And when I came back, it was like almost like being born again when I came back into the context of the New Canaan Society and the friendships and the pleasure that it gave me to be there, be in that room.
Yeah, you'd been in a dark patch there.
Yeah.
A dry patch, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Lord allows us to go through these dry patches. It doesn't mean that he likes the dry patches, but somehow so many people I've talked to have had seasons like that where they are just – they're off. And then by God's grace, they can find his way back. I hope just this radio program will allow people to do that. Maybe they'll get a copy of your book. We're out of time in this hour. Don't leave, and we'll continue the conversation. But, folks, that's it for this hour. I've been speaking to Jack Deere. The book is Even in Our Darkness. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website is metaxastalk.com. Race there. If you get there, by the way, before midnight tonight, metaxastalk.com, you get a free pack of cigarettes. Unfiltered, that's our gift to you. Thanks for listening.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.